So would you like to have your Bibles open at Paul's second letter to Timothy, the fourth chapter. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'll read a few verses. Here is Paul writing from his imprisonment in Rome, this letter to Timothy, the second letter. And as we look at the sixth verse, 2 Timothy chapter 4, sixth verse, there's a suggestion already in the sixth verse that Paul anticipates his own demise, his death. His circumstances are obviously dire. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. And that's our text this morning. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. I'm going to preach this morning on the subject of relapse. I've been speaking for weeks and weeks and weeks in the parables, highlighting the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, encouraging people to come to put their faith in him. Well, I trust that one day all of you will put your faith in the Saviour. But then the Bible has warnings about relapse, about falling away. It is important to remember, I establish this, that only a person is a Christian who has given up the lordship of their own life and Christ has become Lord. Only that person is a Christian. Only that person who repents and puts their faith in Jesus Christ alone is a Christian. Only that person is a Christian who says, I offer no assistance for my salvation. Christ alone must work it. He must do it all. I can't add my little bit. I can't do this. I can't do that. Christ must do it all if I am to have pardon and assurance and peace with God. This is a person who is a Christian. I say this over and over again. Beginnings are everything. If the beginnings are not right, if that foundation is not right, then everything will be wrong. But of course, when you become a Christian, you come into a world of conflict. That's the reality. To quote John Bunyan and his great book that we're reading in the Bible study, it is a holy war. It is a continuous war, a war with the world. The world is the enemy of God, the devil. A war with him, the devil is the enemy of God. The flesh that came from Adam, it is the enemy of God. The Bible is clear that we wage war as Christians, if we are Christians. We know that the road that we have embarked upon is not one that is perfumed. It's not one of rose petals. It's a road of blood, sweat and tears. And so God has provided in his word a word of instruction. He has given us individual cases so that we can remember them by name. So that when you go away, you'll be able to remember the name Demas. The name Demas. Demas will stick in your minds. God wants to remind us that when he has done so much to bring us to himself and to save us by his grace, there is a danger of falling away. And so he endeavours to press upon each and every one of us, as individuals and as a church, the need to fight the fight of the faith. Now, as you stop and you look at this text, you say, well, there's nothing in it. There's nothing that can possibly provide the means for a sermon for the next 30 minutes or so. No, not true. There is much that can be provided for us. Let me tell you what we don't know. We don't know when Demas came to know the Lord. He must have done at some point. He must have done. We don't know whether he became apostate. In other words, if he abandoned the faith altogether, we are not told. But what we do know is that his name crops up three times. The Apostle Paul writes and mentions him when he writes to the Colossian Christians. And he speaks about our friend Luke the doctor and Demas send greetings. When he writes his letter to Philemon, he speaks about those who are fellow workers. And he says, our fellow workers, Demas, send greetings. So here was a man who was a close associate with the Apostle Paul. When he came to know the Lord, how he came to know the Lord, we'll never know. What happened to him beyond this text, we'll never know. But Paul mentions him at least three times. He's a fellow worker, he's a close associate with the Lord Jesus Christ. When I say a fellow worker, I don't mean that he had a job, that he had a 7-6-day-a-week job fellow worker. If you're a Christian, you're a fellow worker with Christ. Get out of your minds this idea that worker means somebody who's employed by the church and receives a salary. I consider myself to be a worker for Jesus Christ. I receive no salary from this church, and I never would do. So he was a fellow worker, just like you are to be considered this morning if you are a Christian. What a thought that this man had been a worker with the great Apostle Paul. And so Paul writes to Timothy and he says, do your best to come to me quickly. You can see Paul's in need. Well, you would be if you're imprisoned in chains. You have needs in chains, don't you? In a prison cell. And then he says, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Now listen carefully to what I'm going to read you now, because this is very important. The AV says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved the present world. And Moffat says, for Demas in his love for this world has deserted me. But the Net Bible, which Anne and Rick, who are here this morning, very kindly bought for me, which I very much like, it has it best of all. For Demas deserted me since he loved this present age. It's not world, it's more accurately age. The age in which he lived is the point. And so although it looks like nothing of a text, there are three standout things which for everyone who's been listening to the parables and calls themselves a Christian, you must listen to this morning, these three standout features. And the first thing is this that I notice as I read it, for Demas, because he loved this world. It was the alluring powers of the world which led him to desert. The reason why Demas quit on the Apostle Paul was because there were forces of the present age which proved so strong he could not resist them. And in German, we have this very helpful word. It's the word Zeitgeist. It provides the perfect base for everything that I want to say. Zeitgeist, time ghost, or as we would say, spirit of our time. That's what Zeitgeist means. Spirit of our time, spirit of our age. And the thing that had got to Demas was the Zeitgeist, the spirit of the time, the spirit not of the world, but of his age, the age in which he lived. And it drew him. It was like a potion. It called out to him. It was almost something that had a mystical power over him. It lured him. It intoxicated him. And he fell head over heels for it in love. Remember where he was. He was in Rome. That great city palpitating with life. There was so much to see. There was so much to experience. Isn't that what we say when we go to London, when we go to a great city, wherever it is? We say there was so much to see. And no doubt, I've got no doubts at all, that when Demas saw it, he was drawn to it. He was drawn to it. And he couldn't let it go. Let me just show you now what the contrast is. You can already see it in the passage before we get to this text. The truth is that the Christians of Paul's day were living for the unseen. And the big deal that cripples the church today is that the vast amount of Christians who serve in the church are living for the seen. That's why I read you the verses from Hebrews chapter 11. Just look, before we get to that text, which is the 10th, just look at the earlier verses. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who longed for his appearance. Paul's passion was for the kingdom of God, for what he couldn't see, not for what he could see. Demas was drawn to the things that were near, not to the things that were afar out of sight. Abraham was drawn to things that were afar out of sight. Liam and I had an early conversation this morning, and we were saying together, he had no house, Abraham. He lived in tents. He put no roots down. He went from tent to tent. Because he was looking for a vision of a bigger city, a better place. Not near things. And the church is weak today because it handles things near. All the things that are near, which it can handle. There are the things that appeal to us. And the things of heaven and the things of glory and the kingdom of God are so poorly handled. I think that if I were to ask you to fill in a questionnaire and ask you what were the things that mitigated most against your Christian life, if you were really honest, you would say it's the things that are near. The things that I can touch. The things which are in themselves sensuous that draw me towards them. And Paul taught the reality of another world. He taught the reality of a spiritual life that is bigger than this life. And if Christians are not careful, what happens? Is they become so drawn in by the zeitgeist, the spirit of the age, that they lose all sight of the kingdom of God. Let me just tell you something about the Rome that Demas lived in. The spirit of the age, the zeitgeist, was exactly like ours. Self-gratification rather than self-sacrifice. It was one of a world where people had the mastery of others. Of course it was, instead of the service for the good of others. It was just like the spirit of our age. Paul had taught self-denial, self-sacrifice, self-emptying. He'd done all of this. This was the Christian experience, is what he had taught. And the world that was around Demas was teaching him exactly the opposite. I put it to you that the zeitgeist, the spirit of the age, had got to him and he took off. He left. I would say that in my reading of the 100 years of this last century of the church, probably the biggest thing was the zeitgeist, spirit of the age, that robbed the church of its people. Let me say something else. It says, for Demas, because he loved this world. There's something here that is important. You say, oh, you're spending too much time on it. No, you can't spend too much time on it. I'll tell you why. Because the word for love here is not the word love in an emotional sense. No, it's a word which pulls up this thought that this kind of love is an intellectual informed decision. Listen carefully now. He didn't just suddenly decide to love the world and took off. It was an intellectual, informed decision. In other words, it didn't come in a flash to him. It grew on him. And that's what the zeitgeist does. It grows on us. It grows on us over time. And it told him that there was a greater happiness out there. And there was another joy and another liberty and another freedom of spirit of the age that he could have. And do you know what I think? I think that the distant became more distant to Demas. And the near became nearer and nearer and nearer. And if the truth be told, each one of us who are professing Christians can probably chart this demise in our own lives. I'll show you how it comes about. Well, this is when conversation with friends is easier than conversation with God. You can chart it. This is the zeitgeist. This is when you meet Christians and it's easier to talk about the offers on at the supermarket or the new whatever it is that you bought. Not that that's not important. But you can't talk about the things of the Lord. This is zeitgeist. This is the spirit of the age. This is when earthly things come to mind above all others. When talk of heaven and glory are almost non-existent in our conversation. When prayer is diminished. When we don't rush to prayer, not in the church. When Bible reading is irksome. Can't be bothered to read my Bible. This is zeitgeist. This is the spirit of the age. Do you know what happened to Demas? He found Paul's company dull. He found Paul's company dull. And left. Can you imagine? Can you imagine this? This tells you the power of such a spirit that can work over time. It was an intellectual love that was developed in his mind and the spirit of the age. I like the word because Henneke gives it me in German exactly. Zeitgeist in German is time ghost or time spirit. So I like the idea of the literal is time ghost. Because it works very well as I conclude this first point. He was spooked. He was spooked by the spirit of the age, by the ghost of his age. And it overtook him. And I only ask you all to consider the spell that zeitgeist might have upon individual Christians. So that they take off and leave the company of the Apostle Paul. I'm only speaking now, not even from my notes or from the Word of God. I'm giving you my personal thoughts of all the people in all the world who I think I would rather spend some time with in this world. It would have to be the Apostle Paul. He would be number one. He would be top of my list. And yet here is Demas who walks out on him. What a power was at work upon that man's life. Now, watch, look at the text, watch what happens, look at it carefully. Naturally, the second thing is he forsook him, he deserted. Forsook is good, but I think deserted does a better job. It conveys something else to us. Let me paint it for you. Here is Demas. Here is the Apostle Paul in chains. Here he is. In a dreadful situation, and no doubt, I guess, you could all agree with me, no doubt, he looked at it, Demas, and he thought, this is not the life for me. Well, I can put you all on the spot this morning, and I can ask you, what would you have done if you'd have seen this man, the Apostle Paul, in chains waiting his final punishment? What today, if you were told that there would be hostility against Christians, and if you were to meet here, it was possible that by being at a Christian meeting, that next week you would be under some criminal prosecution, or that you might end up in prison. How many of you would come? How many of you would come? But this is a good question. This is at the heart of what Christianity is really about. Who would forsake their freedoms and their liberties to come next week and be in this place for the worship of God? If it was possible that you could be taken away and dragged away as Chinese Christians are, as Christians were in the Soviet Union, and carted away to the gulags and I don't know what else. These were Christians. And I think that what Demas did, he saw this situation and he thought, that's not for me, mate. I like being a Christian, but not like this. And he deserted. Do you know what it means to desert? It means to abandon. And I'll paint the picture for you. What he did. He abandoned ship. You all know what that image conjures up. He abandoned ship. He jumped ship. We hear about a man who abandons his wife and his children. He abandons. He deserts. He leaves his responsibility. What is that in the military? Those who have been in the military. Here is one man, perhaps, who the whole troop were depending upon, and he abandons his post. He deserts, and everyone is destroyed because of it. Zeitgeist had got to Demas's mind. And it was so thorough that he was prepared to sever all ties with the Apostle Paul. And although the Apostle was depending upon him, he abandoned him and he left him to himself. As I said, it was another spirit, but that spirit had lured him away to another world and called him to leave his post. I should just say to all of you, if you're a professing Christian, there are bigger ties than the spirit of this age. There are more important ties than this world. There are ties to God. There are ties to Jesus Christ. There are ties to the kingdom of God. There are ties to heaven. There are ties to glory. There are ties to the church of Jesus Christ. And these are, in fact, the most wonderful and profound ties that we can ever have. And all of this Demas forsook, and he deserted the Apostle Paul. It is for this reason that at this point that I draw to your attention that it is without doubt one of the most dreadful things that you can ever experience is where Christians desert other Christians without even a single concern. They never read this. They never read it. They never considered the measure of what this is saying. There's something else to be pointed out. When you desert, you leave a person to themselves, and you do it for yourself. You leave for yourself. Look at the 11th verse. You'll like that. Only Luke is with me. I'm on my own. There's only Luke with me. I think Demas's affections for Paul were very shallow. And this I see mirrored easily in the church, that people's affections for the church are very shallow. They don't run deep enough. Because, if I put it to the test, it's because we're interested in ourselves. I've got my own needs. And for all my efforts, I still don't think, even in this church, I have completely been able to convey this understanding that you have to have a sense of belonging. You belong to Christ. You belong to the church of Jesus Christ. Or otherwise, you're just batting for yourself. You're out for yourself. I'm just an individual. Why do you think I keep going on week after week after week and saying that the demise of the church was down to this, the demise of the churches was down to that, because the churches go into decline. And one of the reasons is that people don't understand what the body of Christ really is. If this morning you think of yourself just as an individual Christian and you don't think of the needs of another believer sat next to you today, I'll tell you what, I'll do it easily without asking anybody to do this for me, although Mark has offered, bless him. I've had cancer this year. I've got a huge garden. Always needs clearing of leaves. Nobody has offered to help me to clear the leaves. Nobody. You say, I've got my own leaves.
True.
Maybe somebody could help you then to clear your leaves. Everybody's batting for themselves. Demas was serving himself. Paul was on his own, in chains. Have a bit of mercy. Have a bit of compassion for him. But no, Demas, because of zeitgeist, was so drawn after everything that mattered to him about the spirit of the age, and he couldn't lift a finger anymore for the Apostle Paul. And off he went. This is why the church has collapsed. Because that spirit gets into it. But if each one, each member was participating as a soldier, onward Christian soldiers, stand up for Jesus. It's the army of the Lord. Of course it is. That's what the church is about. And if you abandon your post, the troop gets overrun. The enemy comes in. You are important to the whole body of Christ, not to yourself, but to the whole body of Christ. And so I ask this question at the close of this point. Are we with Paul? Are we still with him? Or are we sticking with him? Are you sticking with him? For my own part, no matter what the apparent advantages are of this age, I've got to stick with the Apostle Paul. I can't go off and leave him. I want to hear his voice continuously speaking because he spoke the word of God. Don't let zeitgeist make you a Christian deserter. There's a final thought, and it's no less profound. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. He's gone. Paul says, he tells Timothy where he's gone. He's gone to Thessalonica. Actually, it didn't matter where he had gone. He could have gone anywhere. The point is that he had broken with the Lord and he was no longer with Paul. He was essentially not where he should have been. And I want to put this question to you. Do you think he was at home in Thessalonica? I doubt it. Do you think he was happy in Thessalonica? I doubt it. Do you think he was at rest in Thessalonica? I doubt that as well. He was a bit like Jonah. Was Jonah at rest? Was he at rest? When he knew what he should do for the Lord, Jonah, he headed for Tarshish. He abandoned the Lord. He ran out on him. You could say the spirit of the age got to him. They were both in pursuit of the zeitgeist dream. They were both spooked. And it sent them to another place. Do you know that when you're on the run from the Lord, he's always after you? So when Jonah was on the run, the Lord was after him. And I have no doubt when Demas was on the run from the Lord was after him. Because the Lord has done so much to save his people. He has sent his own dear son to die upon the cross of Calvary. He has done so much to reach out and save their lives. And when they go on the run from him, he makes them feel the pinch. Whether it's going to drift to Thessalonica or whether it's going to drift to Tarshish, it doesn't really matter. It's defecting to the spirit of the age, and the Lord reaches out, and he reaches out, and he reaches out. But sometimes, of course, it's very painful. And so I draw to your attention, Although I don't know what happened to Demas, I don't know what happened to Jonah. It was a very painful and sad experience. The Lord is saying to his church and to his people, get on side. Get on side. I've done everything for you. Come and serve me. Come and follow me. Don't go the wrong way. Go the right way. Listen to the voice of God. And this could be a lesson for some of you that will stay with you for the rest of your lives. And you'll never ever forget it. I have to say, it was messages like this as a young man, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, that kind of time. When I first heard messages like this, that put a spirit into me that I've never ever forgotten. Can you learn this morning that the church can never prosper for the future where people desert? It can't. Where the love of this age draws us away, the church can't prosper. I got one final word to say to you really about it. If Demas, if every Christian, everyone here, could now just think about this and take it away with you and remember it. If Demas had have started his Christian life with these words, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you know, if he had have started like that, and if he had have gone on like that, he would have never made his way into spiritual infamy. And his name would never have turned up in the scriptures like this. So I say to all of you, if you'd never heard of Demas before, you've heard of him now. If any of you abandon the faith and walk away and run away and do what Jonah did, I will not be guilty of the blood of anybody. I'm saying to you, stick with Paul. What? Him rotting away in his chains? Stick with him. Don't abandon him. Stick with him and advance the kingdom of God. And then you can do anything with the world. It's easy, actually. You can deal with it. And no matter what the world throws at you, you can deal with it. But advance the kingdom of God. Don't be a deserter. Don't leave the Apostle Paul. Don't leave the scriptures. Don't leave the Lord who has bought you with his precious lifeblood. And if I quote one final scripture, which you all know very well, which appears in 2 Timothy 3, you'll see the importance of this message. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. This morning there was doctrine. For reproof. Do you sense some reproof? For correction. Have you been corrected? For instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, equipped unto all good work. So on that basis, I preach this message this morning. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. This text has to be profitable. For someone it will be for doctrine. For someone it will be for reproof. For another one for correction. For another one for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, equipped unto every good work. May God bless the wonderful truth of his word and speak to us all by it this morning. Amen. Amen. The hymn number 704, we shall stand to sing.
My loving Savior, I
Father, we ask you to help your church in these days. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one who can master in our hearts the spirit of the age in which we live. Put, Lord, into us always that desire for Jesus Christ, for the kingdom of God, for his return, for that city whose builder and maker is God. Grant unto us such a sight, we beg you. And help us, Lord, with all that we have to do in our endeavours, in our labours, in all that we engage in this world. And make us to be the salt of the earth and the light, Lord, in the world that we are to be. Be gracious to your people and watch over and keep everyone who has a true and living profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Preserve that profession, Lord, we ask you. And may it burn brightly in the days which lie ahead. We give you our praise and our thanksgiving and commit our lives to you now. Hear as we ask you for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.